Hey guys, this is Jonathan. Before we get started, I'm afraid for the second time in about a month, I've got to come on ahead of the show and let you know that we did have some difficulty with the recording this week. Specifically, I had an echo effect turned on, and it affects the words when Ben and I are talking. It's not terrible, and I think that you'll get used to it as you listen. But it does sound like we're talking in a cave almost, or talking into a box. But, you know, we had a really great recording this week. We had two guests from Britain that were fantastic as a team. And I'm really happy with this week's show, and so I don't want to throw the recording away. So we're going to release it, but I want to give you a heads up. If you're a new listener, if this is your first time listening, I'd recommend going to a different episode and listening to a different one first so you can get a better sense of what we sound like and how it all works. And then come back and listen to this one because, like I said, I think it's going to be a great show. Okay? So without further ado, let's play the warning.
Warning. The following podcast may prove to be informative and educational, but it is guaranteed to be entertaining. Welcome to Trivial Warfare, the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. Now here's your host, Jonathan Oakes.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trivial Warfare. We are the podcast that takes the pub quiz out of the pub and brings it home to you. My name's Jonathan, and I am here today with Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Man, it's how long has it been since you've been in here?
A long time. You know, you kicked me out the last time I was asked all those crazy questions. So.
You were out of bounds.
I was out of bounds.
Now, today's game has a bit of a British flair.
It does.
It does. We have James and Josh from jolly old England. James, say hello to everybody.
Hello. You can probably tell me because I'm not from England. I just live here. I'm from Northern Ireland, so I've got a sort of an Irishy voice.
I'm going to tell you, most people who hear this are not going to be able to tell the difference.
Oh, right.
You could throw an Australian in the room, and we wouldn't be able to tell them apart either. And Josh, say hello so everybody knows who you are.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, Josh is the one with the deep British voice. So, guys, you're listeners, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
When did you start listening?
So, it was me who found you guys first, and then we used to be housemates, and I put James onto it. But it was about episode 40, and then we did some backtracking from there.
Mm-hmm. The first one I listened to was the riddle about Boston or something.
The Billy Joel lyrics and the Fire of Boston. The Fire of Chicago? Not something that we've ever heard of before.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you found us on the week where I took a break and just did a short riddle that you had to figure out the answer to.
Yeah, well, Josh played it to me. I was like, I don't know what this is supposed to be.
You'd be glad to know we listened again.
I'm glad you gave it a second chance because that's not typically
Josh was like,
show.
No, it's not always like this. It's usually like a quiz or something. All right, okay.
Oh, well, it's really glad. I'm really glad to have you guys here. Before we get rolling today, I want to let you know that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. That's right. We have a new sponsor, Audible. As part of the sponsorship, you have a chance to get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial. I'll tell you how after the midpoint. Okay, who knows what comes up next in this game? Anybody?
That's the bit where you do a riddle, yeah?
Yeah, oh, so you do a big long riddle and then we
something to do with Google Map coordinates, I think.
Yeah, we're not doing that. We are going to warm it up, Chris.
Warm it up, Chris!
I'm about to.
Oh, wait. No, I forgot. I wanted to plug your band. Before we get into warming up, Chris, James, you have a band, man. So you're this Northern Ireland person hanging out in England playing some music, playing the piano. Tell us about your band. What kind of music is it, and where can people find your stuff?
It's sort of... So my band's called Dear Friends, and there's five of us. I play piano, and there's a couple of guitars and a bassist and a drummer. And it's sort of indie, alty... folk type stuff. It's I don't know, it's hard to pin down. It's basically, it's pop music. It's nice. It's sort of harmony driven, vocal driven, and then lots of layers and things going on.
You make it sound very musical and fancy. It's not just some punk band.
Well, precisely that. It is musical and fancy.
You should have named the band Musical and Fancy.
Now that's the second album. That's what that's going to come.
That would have sold some records. So on iTunes, if people want to check out your band, the name of the album is Tales from the Den, and the band name is Dear Friends. Do I have that right?
Correct.
Beautiful. All right, guys, go check it out. And now, after a false start, it's time for Warm It Up, Chris.
What up, Chris?
I have a list, since we're going British today, I have a list of the top 10 most valuable football teams. Football as in James and Josh's kind of football, not my football. Kind of football.
Proper football. Kick a ball with your foot, that one.
By the way, do you know where the term soccer comes from? It's actually a British term.
I'm aware of that, yeah.
I'm not aware of this.
You're not. It comes from association football. It's a shortening of association.
Oh, right. Okay. All right. Fine.
I learned that the other day. I loved that. So that's my gift to you. Yeah. There's a little British trivia.
Football, have we?
I probably just stole a question from Ben today.
No, you're good.
So this is based on Forbes' list. So this is official stuff, right? I have the top 10. We're going to take turns, or you guys are going to take turns, and you're going to try and name them. I can tell you. In the top 10, every team in the top 10 is valued at $1 billion or higher. All right, we are going to start with James.
This is worldwide, presumably.
Worldwide.
New York Red Bulls, then.
I'll go Manchester United.
Manchester United is number 3 on the list at $3.3 billion. I thought they would have been number 1, but apparently not.
They must have been back in the day. They must have been number one.
Okay, so I'll take a guess at what's number one. And I will go for Real Madrid.
Is it pronounced Real Madrid or Real Madrid?
Real, as in royal.
Real. Is that what Real means, is royal?
In Spanish, yeah.
I had no idea. I've always wondered what that meant. Well, hey, we're dropping more knowledge.
There you go.
Real Madrid is number one at $3.6 billion.
Wow.
$3.6 billion.
3.6 doesn't seem like more than 3.3, but it's 300 million. That's a lot of money.
That's a really great point. All right, Ben, I think you're at the disadvantage here.
Dude, because those are the two, that only two that I can really think of without having to really reach deep.
My advice would be pick a European city you've heard of and try that.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Barcelona FC.
I don't know about the FC part, but Barcelona is number 2 on the list.
Wow, I got lucky.
Barcelona, it says FCB.
Yeah, FC icon. Barcelona.
FC Barcelona. Okay, well, there we go. So you're right. You got number 2. We knocked out the top 3. James, I'm looking for number 4. What you got?
All right, damn it. I might go English again. I might even go the same city. I might go for Manchester City. Josh is giving me a look like it's not right, but I'm going to try Manchester City.
So you started with Manchester United, now you want to say Manchester City, and you expect
two clubs in the same town. I know they got bought over by a big millionaire about 10 years ago.
A billionaire.
You expect for one city, Manchester, to house two of the most valuable... This is ridiculous. Number 6 on the list is Manchester City. All right, Josh, what do you got?
So I'll go number 4, and I will guess Bayern Munich or Bayern München.
I am really impressed. Number 4 is Bayern Munich. Holy moly, I'm impressed. I've never heard of Bayern Munich. I assume they're German.
They are German.
Yeah, that figures. All right, Ben, I'll tell you right now, there is at least one team on this list that I have heard multiple times in conversations about soccer. So it's not impossible for you to figure out one correct answer here.
Problem is that I don't really hang around people that have conversations about soccer. So,
Carmella, hello.
But I don't really talk to her that much. Wow. What you do is not
it's behind
not
the scenes related. Here at Trivial Warfare, Ben doesn't like Carmella.
I'm going to get hate mail from her now and from all of her fans.
From her? From her fans.
All of her fans.
You know, Team Carmella is a thing now.
I know it's a thing. Where's Team Ben at? Can we get some Team Ben?
I haven't. There is no Team Ben.
Okay, I'm starting it today officially.
You can't start your own team.
There's got to be some like really cagey middle-aged women out there that love this voice. There's got to be some.
Do you know what team is not on this list? Team Ben.
I'm starting it today. If you're on Team Ben, send likes to the Facebook page. Please blow up Jonathan's email. We're going to get this thing started today.
Oh, wow.
All right. So back to the topic at hand. I'm going to go with AC Milan.
AC Milan is not in the top 10. Darn. They're number 12.
Wow.
So
that was close.
I mean, that's a good guess.
Yeah.
But you're wrong.
It's cute, but it's wrong.
All right, James. Can you name one of the top 10 teams that hasn't been named yet?
Well, I'm wondering whether or not I should stay in England. There's definitely one club in England that has had a big buy over in the recent past. But then when he said AC Milan, that made me think of another Milanese team. But I don't know if they've got it as well. No, you know what? I'm just going to stick English. I'm going to go Chelsea FC.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Chelsea's number 7. Chelsea is number 7. You guys are killing this list. All right, Josh.
Okay, so I will go back Italian, but I will go for Juventus, who have been the multiple times Serie A league winners.
Is Juventus spelled with a J?
It is indeed.
Well, then they're on this list. They're number 9.
Ooh. Oh.
All right, so going to Ben's turn. We have not heard the answer to number 10, number 8, or number 5. 5, 8, and 10 is what's left, Ben.
I really don't have any idea. So I'm going to go with Le Football de Paris.
He just made that up.
Hey, man, I'm taking a stab in the dark here.
Oh, my gosh. Le Football de Paris. Not on the list. Nowhere near the list, Ben. All right, James, can you get number 5?
I'm not sure. I mean, I was thinking about French teams because we've had Spanish teams and Italian teams and English teams and German teams. Oh, we've only had one German team. We've only had Bayern.
There's only two big German teams, though.
What's the other big German team?
Don't help him.
Paris does have a team. It's called Paris Saint-Germain, PSG.
Can you say that in English? Because I have no idea what you said.
Saint Germain of Paris.
I do not see a Saint Germain of Paris. Oh, wait. I actually, number 13 is Paris Saint Germain.
That's
it. So 13, you were one behind Ben's AC Milan. Not a bad guess, though. How do you pronounce it?
Paris Saint Germain.
Paris Saint Germain. I can't even do that.
I got nothing. I'm American.
All right, Josh. I'm still waiting for number 5, dude.
Number 5. I can't think of. So I will go back to Spanish, and they've had a lot of success recently, and I will go for Atletico Madrid.
I thought about them as well.
I'm disappointed in you. Atletico Madrid does not exist on this list.
Ooh.
Does wow. not exist. So disappointed. I'm looking for them. I don't see... Oh, wait, they would have been number 15. Number 15. So you guys are missing a big one. We'll go around one more time, and then I'll give you the answers. Ben, have you come up with a soccer team since then?
So I'm thinking, would there be any non-European teams on the list?
Are you asking me?
Well, if you'll tell me, yeah, I'll take it.
I won't.
So there's non-European. Pretty sure there's no MLS teams on this list. Dude, I'm just going to guess LA Galaxy and be wrong.
LA Galaxy, not on the list.
That's a surprise.
Is it really a surprise?
No, not at all.
All right, James.
James is just bitter because he stole his next guess.
All right, James, next guess.
Right. I'm trying to think, what is Josh's other German team that he's got? So what German team's down there?
If I were you, I'd think England.
Oh, right.
Well, how'd you give him a clue? You didn't give me a clue.
He's a guest. You're not a guest.
Well, the big teams in England are Man United, Man City, Chelsea, and then the next big two are probably Arsenal and Liverpool. But I don't see. Oh, of course, Liverpool, are they owned by the Glazers?
No, no, Man United are owned by the Glazers.
Oh, yeah. Who owns Liverpool then?
I don't know.
I love how you said Glazers. The Glazers.
I love they own that. They're famous for owning an American football team.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, apparently Man United fans don't like the Glazers. Is that right?
I mean, I think they've died down now.
Neither do the Buccaneers.
I'll go Liverpool. I'll go with Liverpool.
Number 8, Liverpool. Hey. Josh, your last guess. Can you get number 5?
So what have we got left? We just got number 5 left. Or we got
number 5 and number 10.
So the ones that I'm going between are Arsenal and Borussia Dortmund. But I will go for Arsenal.
Borussia Dortmund would have been number 11.
Ooh.
Arsenal is number 5.
Oh, nice. I didn't know Arsenal were rated so highly financially.
Can anybody guess number 10? If you can guess number 10, you'll round out the list.
Have you got the country that it's from?
I'd have to guess British based on the name.
Is it Leicester City?
You know, that would have been funny, but no, it's not. Leicester's not in the top 20.
No,
I'm not sure.
What about ye old Queens Football Club?
Tottenham Hotspur?
Tottenham Hotspur, number 10.
Really?
Spurs, as they are known, closer.
Yes, so the only one... You guys actually named everybody in the top 15 except for number 14, which is Schalke 04.
Oh, Schalke. They're
German as well. Oh, no, are they Ukrainian, maybe? Schalke?
Schalke.
I don't know.
I think Schalke are German.
I mean, there were some really good guesses in this list here. I am impressed. Yeah. I bow to your knowledge of football.
Sure. I'm glad I'm not playing today because I'm not warmed up at all.
All right. Well, Ben, with that in mind, why don't we start the game? So here's how it's going to work today. Ben is hosting, and it's going to be Jonathan against the team of James and Josh. And Ben has been given explicit instructions not to be too American with his questions.
That doesn't mean you need to be especially British. Just not quite so American as well.
We're about to get 18 Royals questions.
I don't think that would benefit either team.
What's the Queen's nephew's name?
What type of bed did Princess Diana sit on? Yeah, that's. I can't wait for that. All right, Ben, take it away.
Your category is movies.
This is Josh's specialist subject, or so he claims.
Oh, is it?
Well, we'll see what we have to the question.
What movie starred John Belushi as a liquor-guzzling party animal who eventually became a U.S. senator?
Gentlemen, I am locked in.
I don't... I know the name John Belushi. Josh, who is John Belushi?
So John Belushi was one of the Blues Brothers, I believe.
Oh, right, okay.
You're not allowed to help them, Ben.
Unless that's James, correct? It's one of the Belushis.
Is there more than one Belushi?
It's a family of Belushis. But I've definitely not seen the film in question. It must be comedy. Animal House comes up a lot in this podcast. So.
Does it?
Yeah, that's what I've known. I keep meaning to see it. I don't know what it's about. It says college on the T-shirt. That's what I've gathered.
Okay. Is Belushi in it? Are there any Belushis in it?
I think there's definitely a Belushi. Who knows which one? I don't think it's right.
No, we'll go with John Belushi's Animal House.
So the movie you're talking about, Animal House, it is John Belushi, and he's wearing a sweater. It's a blue sweater with the white lettering for college across his chest. His name is Bluto Blutarski, and on the ending credits, they're flashing what happens in the future to all of the main characters in the movie. And Bluto Blutarski becomes a senator of the United States. It is Animal House.
That's correct. Animal House.
You guys need to watch a few more movies.
Ben writes the questions, not me. I haven't seen the movie in 20 years.
You pulled that right out of your bum. You really did.
Oh, they got so excited, their earbuds. You guys, visual picture for you. James and Josh are sharing a pair of what looks like Apple standard headphones.
Whoa,
sticking them.
I bought some new ones, some nice in-ear ones. They're white, though, to match.
Sennheiser, are they?
They are Sennheiser, yeah.
Oh, those are nice, then. So literally, they're sharing by splitting them in. They're, one bud is in one person's left ear, and the other bud is in the other person's right ear. So when they get excited, the earbuds pop out.
If you've ever seen like a pair of 14-year-old boy and girl on a tree and listening to music together, that's what it's like.
It is very romantic, actually. If you guys need some time alone, just let us know. All right, Ben, question two.
Yeah, I'm not touching that. All right. Category one, question two is in sports.
Sports. Oh, sorry. In Bollinger.
Sports. All right. Serena Williams recently won Wimbledon, tying her with Steffi Graf for the second most Grand Slam tournaments won by a woman. What woman has won the most Grand Slams all time?
I'm locked in.
Okay. We've got a couple of names written down. The two names I've got written down are Billie Jean King and Martina Navratilova.
Out of those two, I would be more tempted to go with your first guess and go for Billie Jean King.
That was my first instinct. I know she's famous. Would she be famous because she's won loads of...
I think she's really successful.
Let's go with Billie Jean
King. Billie Jean King.
Okay, so I went in a different direction. I think I heard this the other day when people were celebrating Serena. Billie Jean King was the second person to do a Battle of the Sexes match, remember, against Bobby Riggs. He actually had another woman try before that. And the other woman that tried was Margaret Court, who was a very good player in her day. And I believe that Margaret Court is the name that I heard who has like 25 major wins. So I said Margaret Court.
The correct answer is Margaret Court.
Yeah! Oh,
your fellow countrywoman.
I've never even heard of Margaret.
I follow tennis loosely.
Yeah.
So she's British, so...
Oh, so she's
not saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah, so I knew her name from the Battle of the Sexes thing, but I had no idea she was that good of a player.
So when was she alive?
This would have been in the Battle of the Sexes was the 50s and 60s, so that would have been her prime. She might still be alive, Billie Jean King is.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
So you're like, when was she alive? Now?
She's dead.
Maybe now? I hope she's alive. We'll see.
First and last time I ever want to hear that name.
Your last question of the round is in the category The Simpsons. What is the name of the Simpsons family cat?
Oh, I know that dog.
I was about to proffer a 3-2-1, aren't you?
No, I got no 3-2-1 here. I know the dog. They have a cat?
They have a cat.
Oh, shoot.
We're locked in.
So the dog's name was Santa's Little Helper. Mm-hmm. That was early on in the run. I don't remember them having a cat at all. So I have no way of coming up with a name here. I'm just going to guess something absurd. And I'll guess Spot.
Josh wrote the name of the cat down. He wrote down Snowball. And then I added two capital I's to make it Snowball 2. That's our answer.
Was this like a Treehouse of Horror situation where one of them died?
I can't remember. I know it was a black cat. I'm fairly sure. I just know it's Snowball. I feel like I know it's Snowball too.
You get credit for either of them.
Yeah. Quick answer, Snowball.
Snowball. Is there two Snowballs now if one died?
Snowball 2 was the first cat and it died, I think, during Treehouse of Horror's episode. And then they got another cat and called him Snowball 5. So it's kind of like it went from 2 to 5.
Oh, we wouldn't have got that.
There's no explanation. So, yeah, so Snowball, I'll accept that.
Wow.
Okay. All right, so at the end of the first round, the score is tied 20 to 20. Second round, first questions in a category of science.
SARS.
Elements such as helium, neon, and xenon are part of a group of elemental gases known by what regal name?
Locked in.
Well, we can 3-2-1 that if you want.
Let's do it.
3-2-1.
Noble gases.
Noble gases.
That is correct.
I don't think they're named for a regal reason. I think it has to do something with Alfred Nobel. Is it? Do you guys know?
It's spelled like.
No, I thought it was. Is it not noble as in. I thought it was noble in a sort of poetic sense in that they don't react with anything.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, like you can slap one with a glove and it's not going to get mad at you?
Just turn around and walk away.
Yep.
Okay.
They don't share their electrons with anyone. It's kind of like nobility doesn't share their wealth with the rest of the
peasants or whatever. Okay.
I guess. Cool. I don't know.
A full outer shell is what we would teach at chemistry.
Okay. Your second question is in fashion.
Ooh. AC Milan.
No.
No, darn.
What world-famous fashion designer was rumored to have contracted AIDS prior to dying from viral encephalitis in 1986.
Oh, wow. I am really not good at fashion designers, let me tell you.
I have no idea who's alive and who's dead.
I don't either. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to name somebody who's alive right now. It's freaking Margaret Court.
We've got a bunch of names written down.
All right, I've locked one in, but I'm assuredly wrong.
Okay. My first guess was Coco Chanel, whom I believe is dead. But dead in 1986? I'm not really sure. You wrote down...
I wrote down Louis Vuitton, who could be a designer or could be named after...
You also wrote down Gucci. What's Gucci's first name? I think Gucci's still alive.
Okay.
That's my third album.
I think his first name is Gucci, too. His name's Gucci.
Okay. We're going for...
We really don't know.
We're going to go with Coco Chanel.
Okay.
All right.
I incorrectly answered... I used the same answer incorrectly in a previous episode recently of Versace. And I don't know if he's alive or dead, but... I used him once and he was wrong, so I'm going to use him again until he's right. So I went with Versace.
All right. The correct answer is...
It better not be Dior. I'll be pissed off.
The correct answer is Perry Ellis.
Really?
Perry Ellis.
I didn't know Perry Ellis was dead.
He's been dead a long time.
Wow. 30 years. Wow. Yeah,
his partner died of AIDS the year before he did, and that's where the rumors really started to swirl.
Wow.
And he staunchly denied it pretty much right up to the day he died.
Okay.
He must be. I've never heard of Perry Ellis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They still make Perry Ellis clothes today.
Oh, yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Is this high-end stuff? Or?
No, it's more like pullovers, knit top kind of stuff.
Where would it sit with Tommy Hilfiger, above or below?
Around the same place.
Okay.
Yeah, not as popular, but just as expensive. All right, so your last question in the round is in the category, what in the Dickens?
Okay.
All right. In the Dickens story, A Christmas Carol, what is the name of Scrooge's deceased partner, that will be business partner, who is the first to haunt him on Christmas Eve?
We're locked in.
Yeah, we're locked in.
Let's go ahead and 3-2-1 that.
All right, okay. 3-2-1.
Marley.
Jacob Marley. Oh, you went...
it's fine.
Jeopardy.
I went last name only.
I'll accept Marley, that is correct.
I think the first sentence of the story is Marley was dead for a start.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Marley, so, in the Disney version, Marley was played by Goofy. Just saying.
That's interesting.
Yeah, well, watch a lot of Disney stuff.
Well, going back researching this, I actually read the whole first part of that short story.
By the way, that's worth a whole read. It's wonderful, terrific story.
Now, some of the references, because he's British, I didn't quite get, but... The way that he wrote it, the whimsical nature in which he approached it was fantastic.
It's a wonderful story.
Yeah, it was.
He's funny, Dickens. I never realized Dickens was funny until you read it, and then it's loads of jokes and stuff in there.
It's quite funny. The imagery is amazing.
Yep.
Okay, so at the end of the second round, once again, the score is tied 40-40. Third round, your first question is in monuments.
Okay.
What is the tallest man-made monument in the United States, also known as the Jefferson National Expansion Memorial?
Oh. How is monument defined here?
This is a freestanding man-made structure.
Buildings count as monuments?
Yes, buildings count as monuments. And by the way, this is widely recognized as a monument. It is definitely a monument. So you wouldn't confuse it with just a building that's really tall. This is definitely recognized as a monument.
Okay. Thank you. That helps. All right. I've got a little bit of logic. I'm going to go ahead and lock in an answer.
Okay.
Right. We are at a slight disadvantage in that we're not American, and we don't regularly commemorate American things with our buildings. But we probably know a good few.
You don't have a good latrine over there called the Latrine of America or something that you can use to remember us by?
But we just had the 4th of July, didn't we, where they make us learn all these monuments, so yes, we should be able to remember it.
It's the, here's our American piss pot.
So, monuments I know of probably extend to the Washington Monument.
That's the big needly type thing.
Yeah.
Is that the one where people sort of, they pretend to like lean against it and stuff? Or
I thought you were thinking of Pisa.
Oh, yeah.
What's I mean, called? I don't know where Jefferson is, which doesn't help me.
So, where Jefferson? Yeah, well, it's probably named just after Jefferson.
But there's a town. I'm assuming there's a town or a city called Jefferson. Is it Thomas Jefferson? No, like Mount Rushmore?
That's not man. Well, that wouldn't be freestanding. No. So I thought about Rushmore. And then when he said it was a freestanding structure, that can't count. Though undeniably tall.
The Washington Monument from photos doesn't seem like it would come close to being as tall as a building.
I think it looks tall. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, do we have a better answer?
Well, no.
Okay, well, we're locked in then.
Yeah, we'll go with the Washington. You know, is that what it's called?
The Washington Monument.
The Washington Monument. Or, you know, or the Jefferson National Expansion Memorial, as it's.
Leading the witness.
There you go.
So the Washington Monument is definitely tall. It's not short by any nature. Because the word expansion was in there, I think about Jefferson buying the Louisiana Purchase. And that leads me to think about all of the Western territory that we have in the U.S. as part of our country because of the Louisiana Purchase. So that led me to the Gateway to the West, which led me to St. Louis, which led me to the St. Louis Arch. And I'm hoping that it's the St. Louis Arch.
The correct answer is the Gateway Arch, which is in St. Louis.
So yes.
Well done.
Okay.
That was a great pull there. Yeah,
that was good logic. We just didn't have that information at all.
Totally understand.
So, the second question of the third round is in music.
Oh.
I think he has an advantage. He is actually in a band.
Yeah, I presume it's about Dear Friends, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Dear Friends question.
And Jonathan doesn't really listen to music, so we'll see. All right. This artist's latest album, despite being released in November of 2015, sold more copies than any other album in that year. Name this megastar.
It's got to be that.
Yeah.
When I'm locked in.
We go on our trip to the lakes.
I'm locked in, guys.
When did we go? Is that Christmas time?
You're locked in?
Yep.
Okay. Josh is asking me, when did we go on our trip down to... Where did we go?
Oh, we went to Midlands somewhere, didn't we?
Yeah, we went to... Yeah, Derbyshire we went to.
When did we go?
That was just before Christmas.
Okay. When we went there, we were listening to what was all over Spotify at the time, which mm-hmm. was Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Didn't he have, like... He had, like...
I think he had
20
eight,
songs
eight
in
out
the top
10
100
songs
or something ridiculous.
In the city. So, yeah. So, we'll go for that?
Yeah, we'll go with Justin Bieber.
So... I went in a different direction. Whenever he's asking a question, my assumption is that it might have a British tie. So I went with...
Damn it! Josh has just written down the name.
I just went with Adele.
He's written down a single name. What did you say? Adele?
I said Adele.
Yeah, that's what he's just written down.
Why did you go so fast on Justin Bieber then?
Oh, I don't know.
All right. Right. Ben, what's the answer?
Hello?
Damn it.
Answer is Adele.
Oh my god!
Come on, guys. I'm giving you two softballs for England. You haven't got either one of them. I'm so disappointed.
Was one of those softballs Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
No, how about Margaret Court, the most famous British tennis player of all time?
Not sure she even existed.
Unless her alias is Andy Murray, and we've not heard
of that. They do look alike. Yeah, so there's that.
Oh, that's horrible.
I don't know. I've never seen
actually,
Margaret
Andy
Court.
Murray does look a whole lot like Harry. He and Harry actually.
Like Harry. I'm going to look up Margaret Court real quick. I don't know if she's alive.
What?
I think she's alive because there's no death date here. Oh. Yeah, she's alive. And she does look like Andy Murray.
Oh. I think she just looks like a woman.
She looks like a British person. And that they all look like Andy Murray. Except for Josh, who looks more like a Weasley.
Wow.
Sorry. I couldn't help myself. I've been waiting to make an orange hair joke the whole time.
That's impressive. All right. Your final question in a round.
Hope she doesn't. Hope she hears this.
If Margaret Court hears this, made my day with that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Come at me, Margaret.
Yeah, there you
come
go.
At me.
There you go.
You ugly old woman.
There's your episode title right there.
Okay. Your last question in the round. The category is wrestling.
Wrestling. Oh, here we go. We should be good at this.
We're locked in.
Oh, are you wrestling fans?
You're in already, huh?
Are you guys WWE fans?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Just when you think you know the answers, I change the questions. Name the bagpipe-toting brawler who made this phrase famous.
Okay. Well, locked in.
We're locked in.
You want to go 3-2-1?
Let's do it.
Sure, yeah.
All right, Ben, count us down.
3-2-1.
Roddy Piper.
That is correct. Yeah, so he died last year, rest in peace, and actually... There's been a lot of debate about his Scottish heritage because he actually is Canadian. His dad was a Mountie. And there's been a lot of debate about whether he really was Scottish or not because I think he's like 3 generations removed or something like that. So
Papa Shango wasn't really a witch doctor. So I'm sure it's okay.
You mean the Godfather's not a pimp?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Kofi Kingston isn't Jamaican.
How dare they?
Yeah.
I can't believe
Rusev isn't either Bulgarian or Russian or whatever it is that needs to be
depending on political situation at the time.
This is a travesty.
Yeah, I think Rusev is from like Jersey or something like that.
Oh my
anyway, okay. At the halftime, midpoint, whatever you want to call it, the score is Jonathan with 70 and the British Bulldogs with 50.
I like that.
All right,
when did we start lagging?
Oh, we got Adele wrong, didn't we? And we got the American question wrong.
That's right.
All right. So here's your midpoint question. The category is gross actors.
Like Valley Girl gross?
It's gross. Oh, gross actors. All right. IMDb has a list of the top 6 highest grossing actors of all time. This means that in their filmography, the total box office sales in their filmography, that's what it's talking about. Not how much money they made, but how much the movies that they're in made. All right. The top 6 highest grossing actors of all time. Name 4 of them. It's 5 points for each one that you get right. And then beyond 4, for each additional one you get right, there's a bonus point. So if you get 5, that'll be 21. If you get 6, that'll be 22.
Take 6 guesses and then... Any 4 are good?
Yep.
Is that the idea?
Yeah, okay. We can do that.
No, absolutely not.
Oh, are you joking me?
No, absolutely not. No way. Yeah, but not him.
Yeah, him.
No, absolutely no way. What else has he been in?
The films he's been in those, and he's been in those.
Oh, I don't think so, though. All right, oh, you're going like that.
Yeah, absolutely. But if he's in the list, then so are the other two.
I'm literally having the same debates in my head.
Yeah.
Literally... having the exact same debates. And right, then, so just so you know, the place where I'm getting stuck in this conversation, which is happening in the air, is, well, wait a minute, what about all those secondary people who are in all of those too?
Yeah.
Because there's like 40 of them who are in every one of them. So I'm wondering how this is going to play out.
You notice we're not mentioning any women?
I don't think any women will be on the list. Hollywood's a bit sexist, isn't it?
If you're having that, I'm having that.
The other thing...
I would 10 times out of 10, I'm taking that over that.
No, mate, he makes blockbusters. Because that's what you need to be looking at.
This guy makes blockbusters? Like what?
So, mate, you're looking... So he's only in the first 3, so you're only looking at 6 films. What has not done anything else? Nothing else to happen to that.
All right, guys.
6 gigantic films.
No, absolutely
hey,
not.
Gigantic
hey, films. Guys. Okay. I'm locked in. You can actually start putting names to this argument now.
Right.
Okay. So
Josh is just talking some bollocks about Jim Carrey.
Right. Okay. So we've brought lots of actors down.
He's no talking women. Bollocks.
He's so spirited. Oh man.
No women on our list because we think Hollywood's a bit sexist. He is trying to argue that Orlando Bloom would be on the list
over Jim Carrey 100 times out of 100.
Obviously, Orlando Bloom was in the Lord of the Rings films and the Pirates of the Caribbean, which are both...
Well, do you want to name another...
Another Orlando Bloom film? No, because no one knows any.
You don't need any more. Those are ridiculously high-grossing, I'm sure.
Jim Carrey will be up there.
Pirates of the Caribbean films are enormous. They're enormous.
So I think Johnny Depp would earn more than Orlando Bloom. So if you're going to put Orlando Bloom down, you have to put Johnny Depp down.
Well, stick Depp in there, then. So we've got Carrie.
So the names that we've got down, we've got Will Smith, Tom Cruise, Jim Carrey, Harrison Ford, Leonardo DiCaprio.
Radcliffe we thought about as
Daniel,
well.
Daniel Radcliffe. But then we was, if we're going for Daniel Radcliffe, then obviously you've got...
Watson and what's his name?
Watson and Weasley. Watson and Josh.
Hey, Harrison Ford, I do like.
Yeah, so we'll definitely
but,
start him.
But Star Wars won't have grossed.
But The Force Awakens, he's in The Force Awakens, and that made silly money, didn't it?
Yeah, no, I'm still good with that, but I think the Star Wars films won't have taken as much money.
DiCaprio must make a lot of money, and he was in Titanic as well.
Yeah, DiCaprio.
So should we put DiCaprio in?
Yeah, I like that. Was it Gatsby as well?
We think all Tom Hanks films are mainly blockbusters. You know, he only makes blockbusters, really. So,
yes.
So star him. I think Johnny Depp, because of the Pirates of the Caribbean films, will star him.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got four, and then we need to...
So who have we got? We've got Depp, Hanks.
We've got Johnny Depp, we've got Tom Hanks, we've got Harrison Ford, and we've got Leonardo DiCaprio.
We've also got in our sixth then Carrie and Bloom, but we're not sure on those yet. Is Radcliffe out?
I don't know. I think they make a lot of money. If Radcliffe would make more than the others, because he's in a few other films.
No, it's not how much they made for the work.
Oh, no, I understand that.
It's how much the movies made.
Radcliffe would have just done a few other films since, but...
Yeah.
Okay, so James is adamant that Orlando Bloom's on the list.
I really feel like I've heard it.
I feel Jim Carrey makes...
So what are you going to go with?
Should we just do that then? Should we make that our six?
What's that? Carrie and Bloom?
Yeah, I think Jim Carrey's on the list.
Okay, here's our six then.
You're going for Orlando Bloom? This is on your head. I don't think it's
I'm
right.
I'm going to say the six.
Okay.
Johnny Depp, Tom Hanks, Harrison Ford... Leonardo DiCaprio, Jim Carrey, and Orlando Bloom.
Orlando Bloom.
All right. After listening to you guys talk, I feel bad because I definitely think I screwed up on at least one of these. I figured, what the heck, because we have a chance to miss two and still be okay, right? So
mm-hmm.
I agree with Harrison Ford. The first thing I thought of was, okay, Harry Potter and Star Wars. Anybody who's in all of the Harry Potters got to be making money, so I immediately started thinking about all three of Emma Watson, Rupert Grint, and Daniel Radcliffe. But then I said, wait.
Weasley's his name.
They're probably not all on this stupid list, so probably not. And then I was like, okay, Star Wars, Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Peter Mayhew, and all the other guys that are in every freaking movie. But wait, that can't be true either, because it wouldn't make sense as a good question. So then my logic started flowing a little bit, and I said, okay, so it's going to be people who are in all of these blockbusters and also have a big career outside of them. And that's when I started coming up with Harrison Ford, obviously, had the Indiana Jones movies on top of the Star Wars movies.
Oh, I didn't even think about those, but yeah.
Harrison Ford, no doubt, is on that list. The next name I have is Alan Rickman. He was in all of the Harry Potters. He's British. And was in a lot of movies on top of that. So I had Alan Rickman. Orlando Bloom, I'm right there with you. Pirates of the Caribbean and Lord of the Rings, you add those two together, that's a win for me. So I said Orlando Bloom. I said Tom Hanks. I said Samuel Jackson, but not because he's in a bunch of big movies, because he's in every movie.
Yeah.
And the last one is the one I made a mistake on. Yes, he was in the first. He was in the prequels for Star Wars, so that was the big set for him.
Oh, that's a good shot, Sam Jackson.
But yeah, but then the screw up I made. I went with Viggo Mortensen, and I should have said DiCaprio. If I could change that now, I would. So my answers were Ford, Rickman, Mortensen, Bloom, Jackson, and Hanks.
All right, so number one, Harrison Ford.
Hey.
Number two, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Woo.
Number three, Morgan Freeman.
Oh, Morgan Freeman!
Number four is Tom Hanks.
All right.
Hey.
Number five, y'all probably going to kick yourselves with this one, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yes.
I didn't even think about the films. Freaking Avengers and that
stuff. Well, he had a pretty big career in the 80s, and then he like went on a drug binge for like 10 years and dropped out of the scene and had a big comeback with Iron Man.
You could take his 80s stuff out, and he should still be in there with the Avengers and
Iron Man.
Avengers plus Iron Man and the Sherlock Holmes stuff right there. Yeah, that would have been enough.
And then number six on the list, which is probably a surprise, is Eddie Murphy.
Oh, Eddie Murphy. Wow.
So if you think about that list, it's some of these guys were definitely in huge blockbusters, but all of them did a ton of movies in a short period of time. And all of them are probably over 60 years old.
Alan Rickman, not on the list.
Not on this list. Not the
surprise, Alan Rickman.
Orlando Bloom, not on the list.
So you think about
Carrey, not on the list either.
Well, Orlando Bloom, yeah.
What was that?
Jim Carrey, nowhere close to that list, by the way. I bet he's not in the top 20.
Actually, he's probably higher than you think, because he did a lot of movies.
Whatever, they were all terrible.
This isn't the question on the quality of Jim Carrey films, is it?
Nice.
I'm stunned about Alan Rickman, though. He did all of the Harry Potters, which is the highest grossing series of all time.
Just loads of like indie films.
Yeah, after that, he wasn't. I mean, Galaxy Quest isn't going to make it.
Die Hard?
Just the one.
A Galaxy Quest plus Die Hard plus seven Harry Potter movies. You know, eight Harry Potter movies. That should be a freak enough.
Yeah,
hold on.
He was in Good Will Hunting.
Where is Alan Rickman on this list?
Nowhere. Rickman's below Carrey.
Are none of the Harry Potter people on any of this list?
Daniel Radcliffe is like number 20 or something.
Alan Rickman has to be higher than Radcliffe.
He is not on this list.
This is IMDb.
This is IMDb.
IMDb, I challenge you to a duel. This is bullcrap. How can the movies from Daniel Radcliffe have out-earned the movies from Alan Rickman? Alan Rickman was in Dogma, for God's sakes.
That's IMDb, dude.
This is unacceptable. Hey, guys, this is Jonathan coming in from the future because I'm still bitter about Alan Rickman. That's right. I want you to know the truth about this. So, Alan Rickman does not get credit for the Harry Potter movies in this logic because they consider it a cameo role. They consider Professor Snape in the Harry Potter movies a cameo role and didn't give him credit. So with that, he'd be at $3.6 billion and would have been seventh, right behind Eddie Murphy at $3.8. But guess who gets credit for the voice acting of Donkey on every freaking Shrek movie? That's right, Eddie Murphy. All I'm saying is, Alan Rickman should have been on this list. This is Jonathan, being bitter, because that's what I do. Enjoy the rest of the show. I got three, so that's 15 for me. You guys got...
I think we just got two. I think we got Tom Hanks and Harrison Ford.
Okay, so I got 15, they got 10.
Yep.
Okay, no bonuses.
So after the midpoint, Jonathan leads 85 to 60.
Gentlemen, I'm going to need you to catch up.
Let's go.
Okay, guys, you heard me mention earlier that we have a new sponsor, Audible.com. Really excited about Audible. You've all heard of Audible. You all know what they do. They do audiobooks. They are the biggest audiobook company there is. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from. They're on your iPhone. They're on your Android. They're on your Kindle. They're everywhere, right? Now, you guys know my rule. If I'm going to bring on any kind of sponsorship, if I'm going to bring on any kind of advertising, I feel like it needs to bring some value to you, and I need to be comfortable that it's something that I think you'll like. Well, Audible.com, trust me, you'll like it. If you're listening to this show, I can guarantee you, you're going to find something you like on Audible.com. So, are you going to find Audible.com useful? Yes. Check in the box. We're covered there, right? Now, are you going to find value there? I'd say yes. Here's why. As part of this sponsorship, you get a free audiobook download. If I was telling you, hey, go download a free audiobook today, I'd encourage you to try The Curse of Chalion by Lois McMaster Buchholz. Buchholz is my favorite author of all time, Spell her last name B-U-J-O-L-D. I've read a lot of fantasy novels in my life, right? I've read The Dragonlance. I've read The Forgotten Realms. I've read The Wheel of Time. I've read all kinds of stuff. The Curse of Chalion is the best fantasy novel I've ever read. I encourage you to pick it up. And this is a great way to do it because you can try it for free. You can also get a 30-day free trial over at Audible. So delivering something I know you'll like, delivering value, that makes this an A-plus advertiser for us. Now, in order to take advantage of this, the place to go is audibletrial.com/TWA. That's audibletrial.com/TWA. Go get your free book, guys. All right. Let's go ahead and get back to the game. All right, here we go.
Okay, fourth round. First question category is, I was told there would be no math.
Oh, you brought a math question.
I did.
I'm all over this.
Oh, you like the math?
I like the maths.
I make it fair. So if you listen to the podcast, you know that even though I ask math questions, I don't require you to do any calculations because that's, I feel like, a little bit overly difficult. So here's your math question. In three-dimensional geometry, what word describes the relationship between two lines that are not parallel and do not intersect?
Three-dimensional geography. Because two-dimensionally, there is no such thing.
Hang on. They're not parallel, but they don't intersect.
Right. That it's three-dimensional. It's not two-dimensional. That's the key. Otherwise, there is none.
Are you locked in, though?
I am now with a wrong answer.
Okay. Well, Josh wrote down converging, which has to be wrong because that means they meet. He said, no, the opposite of that. And I said, which is diverging. But of course, if it's diverging, if you go backwards, they'll meet again. I wrote down coplanar. But again, if two lines in the same plane, they're either going to be parallel or they're going to meet. So that can't be right. So two lines in different planes. Is there a Greeky way of saying that? Non-axial? No, that just means not on an axis. Coplanar means in the same plane. We need the opposite of coplanar.
A-planar.
No plane. That can't be right.
No plane.
No frios.
Hetero means different.
Heteroplanar.
Is
that a word you've ever heard of before?
It's not a word I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's probably not right then.
Which is different than a homoplanar, which would be the synonym for coplanar.
Homoplanar. He's a homoplanar.
Okay, we'd work on that.
So if you're riding on a plane with someone, are you all homoplanar?
Definitely on the same plane. And the same plane.
That's right. Math jokes. Nothing but math jokes.
Gotta love those math jokes.
Damn it.
Yeah, you said you had this.
I thought I did, obviously. Obviously, I thought that. It's gotta be something to do with planes. It has to be something to do with planes. I'm going with it. I'm coining heteroplanar.
Heteroplanar.
Heteroplanar, okay. So we got to the same place very quickly, James. I immediately said, okay, well, not parallel and not perpendicular, then it can't be on the same plane. It's third dimension, so we've got to be talking about something existing at a different level than a different plane. And so I started playing around with the word plane, too, and I came up with interplanar. And that's...
Would that be between planes?
I could not come up with an antonym either. I was looking for something that meant opposite. So, but the best I came up with was interplanar. So, that's what I got.
You coined your own term as well.
I might have. We'll see in a moment.
All right. So, the correct answer is skew.
Skew. Skew you, dude. Skew you.
Yep,
I can see it.
Skew lines.
I can dig it.
Not parallel and they don't intersect. Those two lines are skew.
A skew with an A?
Skew. No, just skew. S-K-E-W. Two lines. On three-dimensional
geometry. Okay, no, I've heard skew. I didn't realize it had that technical definition.
You draw any two lines, they will either be skew, intersecting, or parallel. That's the only relationship that they could have.
Mm.
No, good question, Ben. I like
Well.
10 points for Ben.
Skew.
All right. Second question in the round. The category is Wake Me Up Before You Logo.
Wow. Nice title.
All right. Category.
Wake me up.
Should have some questions in that category.
Before you logo. Yes.
Okay. The silhouette of Michael Jordan jumping and palming a basketball is one of the most recognizable logos in the world. What is the moniker for this logo, which shares a name with an 80s video game character?
I love that question. I'm locked in.
All right.
What have you written there?
Pac-Man.
Right, so you've written Pac-Man and I've written Mario.
So it's your turn again to this could be slow, right? Bomberman.
Bomberman seems more feasible. Have you any idea?
No, I've got no idea.
I've got zero ideas. Well. So
Sonic.
Ah.
Who else we got? Miss Pac-Man.
Yeah, it could be Miss Pac-Man.
Okay, we'll be doing crew.
So
Altered Beast.
Gabe was horrible.
So Michael Jordan bouncing the ball. This is the NBA logo, isn't it?
No.
We're talking about a logo.
Yeah,
but what's the logo for? It's not for the NBA.
No, this is the Nike Air logo. Ooh. Where he's spreading his legs and he's got the ball and he's about to dunk.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Have you ever seen a pair of Jordans? That this is the logo on any pair of Jordans you've ever seen ever.
All none of the pairs.
I didn't know that Jordans hadn't made it to England. I would have sworn they were popular there.
I know they're big in China. I would have thought they were big in England, too.
Even Yao Ming was Jordans.
Right, exactly. I guess there aren't a whole lot of English basketball players. I guess basketball just isn't pushed big over there.
Margaret Court was Margaret Court was big into basketball.
Yeah,
Margaret Court. Scott
on you. Oh, that's hilarious.
Is there a basketball hoop on the St. Louis Gateway?
When you describe the logo.
Yeah. It's like Starman? Is that a thing? Well, it's a film.
It'd be Bomberman sound more plausible when he described it.
I don't know when Bomberman was released.
It's a thing though, isn't it?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Our 100% confident answer is Bomberman.
Bomberman. All right.
You're close by going with something man. Before Mario was known as Mario, he had a video game in arcades with this name. It's Jumpman.
Oh.
He is called Jumpman. And so that's what the logo's name is.
Correct answer is Jumpman.
Yep.
No wonder he loved the question. Yeah. He knew the answer.
So, your last question in the round is sports.
Sports. He just asked a Michael Jordan question, and now he's going to ask a sports question.
That's right. Yeah. How long is a Canadian Football League field, including the end zones?
So when we say not too American,
yeah,
that doesn't mean...
just go to your neighbors. We've got Mexican sport after this as well. Okay, so I'm going to say something. I've not even heard of Canadian football.
No,
you haven't heard of Canadian football?
I know. I've heard of Aussie rules football and American football, but never Canadian football.
It's a different game.
Should we go for...
Canada's big, isn't it?
Should we go for our answer that we were always going to say when we didn't know it?
Yeah, Josh and I have an emergency answer in place for any American sports question that we didn't know the answer to.
So we were going to...
I don't know if it's applicable here.
Should we lock in with it? I think we should. We're not going to get it otherwise.
You might as well guess a distance.
Yes, I think he's right.
Okay.
So we'll keep Babe Ruth in the reserve.
Babe Ruth. That's awesome.
Canadians are part of the British Empire.
They're very nice.
Are they going metric or are they going imperial in their measurements, do you think?
I don't know.
God, I hadn't even thought of that. Wow. Thanks for that tip.
Oh, damn it. Are you locked in?
No, I'm not locked in. I didn't say I'm locked in.
Don't steal Babe Ruth now, will you?
That's amazing.
I had not even thought of that. I was doing things in yards.
And I just want to point out for the record, if you guys think that these questions are disadvantageous to you, you got two questions wrong on what is possibly the most famous non-political female figures in the history of your country. So I just want to point that out for all of the listeners.
Nobody has ever heard of Margaret Court.
Oh, it's Adele person. Who's this Adele person?
Picture Margaret Court sitting there on the couch listening to this. She's like, hey, what did I do to ask for that? Even the British guys are bagging on me.
All right, so has he locked in yet?
No, I'm still thinking.
Dithering about it.
Thinking.
Not dithering. Making jokes over here. These are the jokes.
All right, what are we going to go with? Because we don't know.
Canadians. I reckon Canadians will want to outdo Americans. They'll want a larger pitch.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I went ahead and wrote down a number. I'm locked in.
Do you think they use yards? Do you think they use meters?
There's a French influence. France is the home of the Système International for units.
Okay.
I feel like I reckon it's meters.
Okay, so meters. 100 meters? That could be nice and round.
100 meters.
Like a 100-meter track?
Yes, that's also 100 meters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Also, other things are 100 meters.
or like a 100-meter stick. Or a 100-meter street. It's also like a 100-meter home.
Do you know if you walk 100 meters, do you know how many meters you've walked?
Oh, yeah. Oh, right, like 100 meters.
Often.
Yeah. Let's go with, Sommet. 100 meters.
I think that it's a little bit smaller than the U.S. field. I went with, but then I tried to do the math and I was like, forget this. So I just said 80 meters.
The measurement system they use for the field is yards.
Oh, fuck. You tricked me, yards, you Brits. Yeah.
So,
our answer was just 100.
Yeah.
So in American football, the 50-yard line is the center of the field. In Canadian football, they actually have two 50-yard lines, and then they have a center line in the middle of the field. So the field is actually 110 yards long, and their end zones are 20 yards long each. So the answer is 150 yards.
Wow.
150 yards.
Wow. I had no idea either, guys.
Okay. At the end of the fourth round, Jonathan leads 95 to 60.
Oh, bloody. Did we get nothing?
You got nothing.
Yeah, you got shut out that round. Your first question in round five, your category is One Name Wonders.
Adele.
I'm going to list off six performers for you. Prince, Beyonce.
Do we need to write these down?
It might help. So Prince, Beyonce, Jewel, Beck, Rihanna, Madonna. Got them? Prince, Beyonce, Jewel, Beck, Rihanna, Madonna.
Got
them. Okay.
Which one of these artists' stage names is not his or her actual birth first name?
Which one is not their birth name?
Which one is not their birth name? So five of the six, their stage name is their actual birth first name. Which one is not?
I think it's her. I mean, I think it's him.
Where you are, Jonathan?
He tried to throw you off. I know. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You mean you think it's that one? Are you locked in?
Are you locked in?
No, I'm still thinking. When I'm locked in, I usually say I'm locked in, or some variation thereof.
That is a good signal.
Yes.
Should we lock in so we can talk about it afterwards? I'm confident.
Whom are you locking in? Right.
Yeah.
We're locked in, damn it.
All right. They're locked in.
Frustration is building.
So, Madonna Ciccone is her name. Jewel Kilcher or Klitcher or something like that. That's her name. If the answer is Prince, I'll be shocked. Prince obviously isn't a normal first name, but I can't imagine that you would have included him if he was the right answer. So a little bit of game theory says it's not Prince. I'm pretty sure that Beyonce's name is Beyonce Knowles. So it leaves me with Beck and Rihanna. Beck is such a weird first name. I could see his name being like something Beckham or something maybe like that as opposed to being first name Beck. And Rihanna...
The British connection there.
Yeah, right? Rihanna, I don't know. I don't know anything about Rihanna. I don't know her last name. I know she's an Islander. I'm going to guess Beck.
Okay.
Well, Beyonce Knowles, obviously, and you said Madonna Ciccone.
Madonna Ciccone, yeah. And I think I Googled Prince when Prince died, and because I was wondering what Prince's real name was, and it was Prince. So I think that rules Prince out.
Who would have thought Margaret Court would have outlived Prince?
Oh, my God.
I'm sure before I've tried to remember somebody's real name, and I think it's Rihanna's. I think her second name is something Felty, but I don't think her first name is Rihanna. But I could be wrong. We've gone for Rihanna.
Yeah, well, Beck to me seems like, right, I need somebody else to fill out this question. And Rihanna is, you know, sounds enough like a first name to be the right answer, to be worth building a question around.
Yeah, whereas you wouldn't build a question around Beck.
Exactly.
We hope.
Has anybody built anything around Beck? No.
That's good game theory right there. I didn't think of it that way, but I like what you're thinking.
Yeah, that's our answer.
Yeah. Okay, I went with Beck.
All right, the answer is Rihanna.
Oh!
Her first name is Robin.
The game theory you guys used on that,
that was
so
excellent.
Good,
was
and plus, she's black, so Ben's already...
Oh, that was a real game theory.
No, but here's why.
That's
here's
team
why.
Ben, baby.
Here's
why,
exactly. Ben... When he built this question, he started with somebody in mind and built the cast around her. And you guys picked up on that, and I didn't. And that was really well done.
Okay. The second question in the round, your category is movie reboot sequels.
Oh, my Lord.
Movie reboot sequels.
A lot of stuff going on there.
Al Pacino plays egomaniacal casino owner Willie Bank in what 2007 blockbuster... which was the final sequel of a remake of a 1960 Rat Pack film.
We're locked in.
And you're locked in?
Mm, yeah.
So
we said we're locked in, so that's how you know.
I guess that's right. Bad memory. I know, short term's terrible. So I know the Rat Pack film's Ocean's 11, and I don't remember seeing any of the other ones. I don't know what they ended on. But because the question says final sequel, that means it's not going to be the second. That means there's more than one. So there was. I'm pretty sure they named them in order, so it's not Ocean's 12. The last one that I can think I've ever heard would have been Ocean's 13. I don't remember ever hearing an Ocean's 14. So I said Ocean's 13.
Okay, yeah, we went for Ocean's 13.
That's exactly what Josh wrote down. Nice logic.
Man, you need to see no literature. Answer is Ocean's 13.
Is that the one it's from?
That's the movie it's from.
No wonder I hadn't seen it. I saw the first one. I didn't remember that. That's
yeah,
why.
That's my favorite of the three, actually. Gotcha. I love all three, but that's my favorite. Okay, your final question in the round is Asian cuisine.
Mm.
One of the most famous Filipino appetizers starts with a thin pastry rolled and stuffed with either fresh vegetables or minced meat and deep fried. Name this delicacy.
Delicacy?
Well, it is to me, let me tell you.
I'm locked in.
Let me read it again.
Yeah, I have Filipino friends.
I have. I used to work in a KFC in Belfast when I lived in Northern Ireland, and all the staff there were Filipino.
Does that mean, by definition, that makes you Filipino, right?
So yeah,
that's right.
And you saw them eating loads of popcorn chicken, yes? Yeah? So is that what we're going to go for?
Yes.
The original recipe.
The conversation was largely chicken-oriented. So thin layer of pastry, is that what you said?
Yes. Thin layer of thin pastry rolled and stuffed with fresh vegetables or minced meat and deep-fried.
So what I wrote down was dim sum. What are you thinking?
I don't know. I thought dim sum was Japanese. I thought you got that at Japanese restaurants.
I thought it was Chinese dim sum.
Yeah.
And there, of course, got the three corners of Asia.
I don't have anything better than dim sum.
Do we sound silly and ignorant?
Not to me.
Jonathan was going to say something different.
Yeah.
My mother told me, if I can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
When have you ever followed that rule, ever?
Hey, so scratch dim sum.
I mean, Spring Rolls fit that description, don't they? But it's not going to be that.
It's not Spring Rolls.
It's not going to be Spring. It's, no.
Is it Spring Rolls?
Well, it fits the description.
Yeah.
What else comes in those packets, those little pastry packets? I see Chinese food. It's not Chinese, obviously, it's Filipino. But Asian food in the UK is different to Asian food in the US, which I presume is different to Asian food in Asia.
Yes, without a doubt.
What, in the US, Asian food is typically magnified. We just get more of whatever it is.
In the UK, it's rice and some sort of battered meat, and that's and some spicy sauce, and you're done. It's. I'm giving the executive decision to you, Josh.
I don't know, mate. You choose.
That's not what taking an executive decision.
I'm going to take the executive decision. Steven Seagal took in for film.
Right. Oh, spring rolls. That's what we're going for. Spring rolls. It's not spring rolls. That's our answer.
No, go dim sum.
He doesn't want responsibility, but he doesn't want you to go spring rolls.
Yeah, we'll go right, dim. We'll go dim sum.
Dim sum.
Every time I was in a work potluck, there'd always be a Filipino person on the team, and they'd always bring these little spring roll type items that in the Philippines they call lumpia.
Oh,
what?
Yep.
So I believe that this was Margaret Court's favorite snack just before she got onto a match.
But she listens to her Adele album.
Yeah. That's right. The answer is lumpia.
Well done.
Not heard of them.
Pays to have Filipino friends, gentlemen.
For that very reason.
I'm sorry, Ryan.
Pub quiz advantage.
And Dennis.
Your Filipino friends are named Dennis and Ryan?
Well,
he didn't become a maverick. Mavericks are perfectly acceptable.
That's okay. We have a Filipino friend named Bernard, so yeah, I guess it's okay.
It's English names. And they're, you know, I don't think they know which English names are normal and which aren't.
Yeah, who knows? So at the end of the fifth round, Jonathan leads 115 to 80.
Bloody hell. That's enormous.
You're only 30 behind.
You're 25, mate. 35, mate. Damn it.
I'm going to need both of y'all to learn some math.
I never claimed to be good at math.
Skew! That's how far we're behind.
So, your sixth round, we're going to kick off your sixth round with a geography question. Or as Jonathan likes to say it, geography.
I've never said that.
You have said that before.
Extremely
I think the very first episode I hosted.
Wow.
You said geography, and I've said it
as I like to say.
As you like to say.
As I've only said once.
As you've only said once in your life. Geography.
You loved it when you said it though.
All right. I'm going to find what episode that is and tell you. All right. The northernmost point on the continent of Africa is located in what country?
I've got three countries that are possible.
South Africa, I hope, is one of them.
No, afraid not. I'm going to eliminate that one. Doggone it. My problem is I don't know if Africa is tilted or not. And if it is, which direction it might be tilted in. I'm going to assume it's not, and as a result, I've locked in an answer.
So Josh drew out a rudimentary map of Africa, the north coast of Africa, and across the top, from west to east, we've got Morocco, Mali, Tunisia, and is it just Egypt straight after that?
I don't know. There might be another
one. Libya will be in there.
Libya, yeah.
Libya.
But I think...
You forgot Algeria.
Well, I say, I've got Algeria. Is that a coast? Is that Mediterranean? Algeria?
Algeria is up there. Mali, I don't think it is.
Maybe we're swapping those over. But thanks for the tips.
Well, I thought Algeria had a
coast. Unless it's Mali and you're just sabotaging us.
But, I mean...
This is also Mali possible. Wasn't
in, really, we're between Egypt and Morocco. Morocco,
yeah. I mean, Morocco...
I know, but Egypt
Morocco, there's a point in the... So the entrance to the Mediterranean Sea, as it were, where Morocco and Spain are really, really close together. Did you say you've done that crossing?
I hitchhiked to Morocco when I was younger, and we went crossing from the south of Spain there.
I don't know that, anybody.
Mm. So it wasn't very long crossing. I wonder if it's Egypt.
So does it come down and come up again as it gets towards, like, you know, Saudi Arabia and those sort of places?
I want to say Egypt.
Oh, I'm really...
Do you want to say Morocco?
Morocco's... Okay. To be a little bit more.
Okay, we'll lock in Morocco.
Okay. The three countries that I had in my mind were Morocco, Tunisia, and Egypt. Egypt, if Africa is tilted downwards on the left side, then Egypt would be the highest. And I don't know how far up the Sinai Peninsula is counted as Egypt, because it goes northward really quick once it hits the Middle East. Tunisia, I believe, if I'm not crazy, is actually a peninsula of sorts going northwards. So all of these other countries around it are these giant countries, and then there's this one jut of land northward into the Mediterranean, and that's Tunisia. So I wondered if it could be Tunisia just at the tip there. But I think that there's a slight upward tilt on the left side of Africa, and Morocco meets Spain at the Straits of Gibraltar. And so I said Morocco.
So we're both Morocco then?
We're both Morocco.
All right, the answer is Tunisia.
Doggone it! I knew the whole thing. I knew why and everything, and I still missed it. I'm so disappointed in myself right now.
Yeah, that was, you just witnessed a mini meltdown by Jonathan.
Oh, darn it. It's hey, frustrating. It's frustrating when you even know the why of it, you know? And you figured it out and still chose wrong. It sucks. All right, Ben. Not happy with Ben anymore.
So, here we go.
Yeah, right.
Next question in the round is science.
Science! Ooh, well done.
Awesome. What is the largest muscle group in the human body?
You're locked in.
No, we're not.
We're not?
No.
Why not?
Largest group or largest single muscle?
Okay, so the answer that I have is I'm identified as a muscle. So what is the largest muscle in the human body?
Okay. Do you want a 3-2-1 that, Josh?
Should we reach 3-2-1?
You do it with him. All right, okay.
Speak for me, doctor.
This is such a non-committal relationship.
I know.
All right, okay.
Count us off, Ben.
All right, three.
Wait. Are you in for this?
I'm in.
All right.
Okay.
Three, two, one.
Gluteus maximus.
That is correct.
All right. Yeah, I was like, do we need to name the gluteal region, or are you counting both quadriceps as one group, or
the hamstrings?
Exactly.
So, your final question before the final question is...
We're way behind. We need to get this.
Is music.
All right,
music. Here we go. Classical music, I hope.
All right. This is definitely classical to some people.
What R&B artist?
It's not an R&B question. All right. The last song on the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album is regarded by Billboard.com as the greatest Beatles song of all time. Name that tune.
Greatest Beatles song of all time. All right. I'm taking a guess at what they might have said was the best Beatles song, but God, who knows? I don't even know which songs are on that album. So I'm locked in.
Neither of us are Beatles fans.
So I've listened to Sgt. Pepper's.
You asked him for non-American questions. He goes out of his way to put a Beatles question in there. You're like, we don't like the Beatles.
I must prefer the Beach Boys and the Velvet Underground.
So we've logged in. We have gone with Yesterday, unconfidently.
Right. It's probably a really good answer. I didn't think that Yesterday was on Sgt. Pepper's, but if it is, then maybe...
Damn it. Are we locked in? Is that it?
You're locked in. It's too late, dude. I've started talking.
I really think it's Hey Jude. Our answer is Yesterday, but I really think the answer is Hey Jude.
Well, I'm glad you think that, because the answer I wrote down was Hey Jude.
All right, so I did verify this on a couple of different websites, but Billboard.com is the most prevalent. The answer is A Day in the Life.
Oh, okay.
A Day in the Life is the last song on Sgt. Pepper's?
That's what the
website says. So A Day in the Life is a weird song because in the middle of the song, it changes into a totally different song. If you listen to it, it's like, wake up, get out of bed. And then there's this trippy interlude in the middle of it, and it turns into a totally different song by the end of it.
Yeah.
I can't believe anybody thinks that's the greatest Beatles song. That's shocking.
I guess you just have, like, when you think about groups like The Doors and how great people say The Doors were, and like all that type of music and genre, listening to it today, it's hard for a person who wasn't in that era to really understand the art behind that. You know, it's kind of like being in a museum looking at a famous piece of art and not understanding why this is so great.
I think you need to drop acid and listen to it. And I think that it might, that might be a difference.
That might help me out?
I think, no, I'm saying legitimately, I think that might be a difference maker.
Okay.
I think people are remembering it from when they were high on drugs. The whole album.
Yeah, I get that, but there are a lot of artists who were high on drugs that still make great music that sounds good to people who aren't high.
No, I mean, this Ray is Charles. A good song. We're not talking about a bad song here. We're talking about a good song.
Yeah, I get you.
But
anyway. I have to be tripping off acid to really understand.
So we were about, well, I think we'd appreciate it more if we saw the pink dinosaurs that came out of your skull.
Should we redo this episode? Yeah, do some acid now. We'll redo the whole thing. We'll scrap the nil-nil.
You know, we have toyed with the idea of doing a drunken episode before where everybody's just plastered. We may do that someday. Well, James is like,
if that's on the cards, let us know.
All right. Somebody's got to be sober if the host is drunk.
Chris will host that one. Chris doesn't drink.
It'll be a DD. All right. So going into the final question, Jonathan's leading 125 to 90. Let me give you your final category. Your final category is European landmarks.
Oh, I'm so humped.
Is it European landmarks in Europe or European landmarks in America?
European landmarks. The geographical location of these landmarks are European.
Our bet's in.
Okay, I have my wager written down.
All right, I'm going to give you four landmarks, okay? The first one is Big Ben. The second one is the Colosseum, which would be the Roman Colosseum, obviously. The third one is St. Basil's Cathedral. And the last one is Arc de Triomphe in Paris. Put these historical landmarks in order from tallest to shortest.
I'm so glad you didn't say by a date they were created.
That's what I was hoping it was that, yeah.
I was hoping it wasn't.
Oh, I thought that would have been...
The problem is, they're all really tall.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
James.
Is that the problem? I wish I had established that earlier.
I told you not to help him out. It's like, Big Ben's got big in the title. That must be the best.
It's a good thing he didn't say the tall Colosseum.
Exactly, yeah. A massive St. Basil's.
I don't know. Is St. Basil's in Russia?
Yeah, it's in Russia, yes.
Oh, is it?
It's in Moscow.
I was thinking about Basel, the city in...
Switzerland.
Yeah.
No, St. Basil's Cathedral.
Oh, okay.
But one in Moscow. I think that's the smallest.
I think that's smaller than you think. And I think that's bigger than you think.
That's what she said.
Wee!
All right, guys, I'm locked in.
Okay. Ben doesn't seem to like the final round very much.
Ben has been surreptitiously walking over to the kitchen and eating chicken in between rounds.
I shall pass. No comment.
Okay. So James has been to three of these landmarks, and we're arguing between ourselves as per usual.
Which one have you not been to?
I've not been to Russia.
James has been to, I've only seen Big Ben out of these.
Big Ben was the one I was most recently out in London a couple of weeks ago. The Colosseum I've been to, I've been in it, round it. Arc de Triomphe, I've driven round it. The Arc de Triomphe is a big roundabout. Do you have roundabouts in America? Do you have them in Florida?
Right. Yes.
But the Arc de Triomphe is in the centre of a big roundabout, but there are no like markings on the road or anything, so it's like one of the worst traffic places in Paris, and people just you just plow into there and do anything they like. But I think Arc de Triomphe is massive. I think it's big. I think it's big.
So my initial instinct was St. Basil's, Big Ben, and then interchangeable between Colosseum and Arc de Triomphe.
I think Big Ben is not as big as you think. Arc de Triomphe was built after the Great War. Big Ben was built, pre-Victorian?
Oh, yeah. I don't know when it was built.
Yeah, when was that built? Mm. When were the Houses of Parliament built? Same time?
No, really early, wasn't it? Because, like, Guy Fawkes and things like that was in Parliament.
But there was a great... Well, 1666 was a great fire.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
No, well, Turner has a painting of the Houses of Parliament. Is Big Ben in that painting?
I love listening to you guys debate this because you're using historical landmarks that are totally not the kind of historical landmarks that an American would use. You mentioned the Great War. You mentioned Guy Fawkes or Fawkes. You mentioned it's like you're doing a totally different set of historical landmarks than I would have ever done.
Let's go. American Civil War.
This is brilliant. This is brilliant. I love hearing this.
What do you think is the top? What do you think is the biggest of those three you've seen?
Cathedrals are big.
I think I think a picture of it.
Climb, yeah. Big spires.
I think we should go for that for number one.
Yeah.
So Basil's top.
I would like to go. If it were me, just me, I'd be going Basil's Arc de Triomphe, Big Ben Colosseum.
Okay, let's do that.
That's if it were just me.
You've been there, though, and I've only seen the Arc de Triomphe in a photo. So.
But I've not been at both of them at the same time.
I would have gone St. Basil's, Big Ben, then like I say, Arc de Triomphe, Colosseum. But let's go then. Go to your order.
Big Ben's not as big. It's not all that big. It's fine. Fine, Ben.
But surely the Arc de Triomphe is just a bit higher than a few cars.
No. It's big. I'm sure it's big. Tall.
I really don't think it's as
you
big
know
as
what the French are like
Big Ben.
With,
I really don't think
with
so.
With the, you know, what's the word? Sentiment.
I really don't think it's as big as Big Ben. I've not seen it. All right. How confident are you?
60%.
It's not
a good
number, is it?
He said I'm 60% sure.
60% sure.
How sure are you?
Oh, I'm not sure. I just told my gut feeling.
We're going right.
He's like, I don't have an answer. I just don't like yours.
I have an answer, and in my answer, yeah. Right, okay, so our final locked-in answers are St. Basil's, the Arc de Triomphe, Big Ben.
What's the order? Tallest to shortest?
Tallest to shortest.
Yes, right. So St. Basil's, the Arc de Triomphe, Big Ben, and then the Colosseum.
Okay.
Finn's wrong.
Look what I wrote.
I've been... I struggle because I don't know how tall Big Ben is here. I feel like Big Ben is tall.
That's what I've done.
Hey, guys, this is the part of the show where I talk.
Sorry, we're mumbling all over you.
Sorry again.
Josh has been.
So, I feel like I see Big Ben next to the London Eye in pictures, and I feel like Big Ben is nearly as tall as the London Eye, which is really tall. So, I put Big Ben number one, and I put St. Basil's 2. I've been to the Colosseum. That's a good 10 stories. Not 10 stories, but maybe 8 stories tall. I mean, it's pretty tall. And I put the Arc de Triomphe fourth. It's bigger than a few cars stacked on top of each other. I mean, it's a good 4 or 5 stories tall. But I don't think it's taller than the Colosseum. So I said Big Ben, St. Basil's, Colosseum, and Arc de Triomphe. Now, we've all had debates in our head, and you're about to educate
us. We've all got
us.
Different answers here.
Yeah. Yes. Josh has written down his own answer, separate to the one that we've given.
So I'm going to do these.
I'll show afterwards.
No, yeah. I already can tell your answers were Basil's, Ben, Colosseum, Arc.
Yeah,
maybe.
I figured that. I figured that in your argument.
I'm going to do these in reverse order. At 156 feet tall, St. Basil's Cathedral.
That's the shortest?
That's the shortest.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear.
And 157 feet is the Colosseum.
They're only 2 feet apart?
1 foot apart.
Ben? How are we supposed to know 1 foot difference?
Really?
Oh, my God.
You do, like, 1 year difference in trivia questions all the time.
Oh, my God.
And 164 feet, Arc de Triomphe. And at 316
feet.
Bigger
than Arc de Triomphe. Simply, don't believe it. Je ne le crois pas.
At 300 and what?
316 feet.
Big Ben?
Big Ben, the tower that in which Big Ben is encased.
Wow. So that was 150 feet bigger than the rest, which were all within 5 feet of
the Exactly. I'm calling shenanigans. How are we supposed to know one thing is 1 foot taller than the other? Good God. Okay. Well, gentlemen, let's make this dramatic. I can tell you that I did math to do my wager. I wanted to do my best to see if I could cover you if you got right and I got right. So I bet 60 because I felt that if I got it right and you got it right, I'd have 185 and I'd win. But if you bet 36, like I think you probably did, I could still miss it and get it and win. So 125 minus 60, I have 65. What did you wager?
It depends. We bet.
I cannot see that. We bet 89/0.
No, we bet 89, and I crossed the zero out.
<changed the zero. laughs> I'm like, I don't know what the hell you bet. 89. Okay, so the final score is what? 65?
The final score is the odds that Jonathan's going to have me back on the show, which is 65 to 1.
65 to 1. All right, guys, let's read some reviews. We have some new reviews. You guys know we're on, what is it, the hike to 100?
Yes.
And we have 81 now.
That's impressive.
It's nice. I'm really disappointed that I can't count the foreign ones. Because we have one, we have a couple in Israel, we have some in Australia, and a few others, but they don't make it to the U.S. version of iTunes.
Oh, okay.
Very disappointed in that. But we have a review from DSH0404, or I guess, as I like to call them, Dish44. And Dish44 says, the podcast is great. If you like trivia, you'll like this. Oh, this is a setup. Oh, great. All right, I have to read this whole thing. It is full of great humor loaded with fun facts. I find the talk it out portion to be the most fun. Jonathan and Chris are great, and it's awesome that they read their reviews on the air. I love reading iTunes reviews. They make me feel great. Chris, just like the New England Patriots, the greatest football team ever. Chris, I just want to make it clear that Boston, even though they stole my Boy Scout candy or something, is undoubtedly the greatest city on earth. And it's full of amazing people, like Bill Belichick, the standard bearer of all human goodness. Thank you, Dish44. I hate you.
Clearly a Red Sox fan.
What is your issue with Boston?
Mostly it's sports related. Mostly it's being a Rays fan and the Red Sox fans being jerks when they come to Tampa to watch games. And they're really, for not having a lot of success over the last 100 years, they're really high on the hog right now. And they've always...
That sounds like Liverpool.
Yeah, they think they're really, really special. And they're really, really massholes. So,
it does sound like Liverpool.
So they're more so jerks than the Yankees fans are.
Very much so.
Okay. And they all claim to be Irish as well. That's exactly like
they actually, they're from Massachusetts. They do claim to be Irish.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're from
I'm
Boston.
Actually traveling there for work in a couple weeks.
I'm sorry. Get your inoculations.
Yeah, I'll make sure that all of my immunizations are up to date.
That's right. Okay, so we had a review by the Chaser45. They said very succinctly, I'm a big fan of pub trivia, and this podcast nails it. The questions are the perfect blend of easy, difficult, and I can't believe I didn't know that. Thank you to the Chaser45. And lastly, like we have AF Kate. AF Kate, Kate Sutty is a former military. Yeah, I've been talking to her via email. Kate says, I found this podcast while trying to warm up my brain for a pub quiz. Great idea for anyone that needs inspiration. I had listened to a few others, but no group drew me in like the Warheads. I know that I'm listening to a group of friends, but now they feel like my friends, with inside jokes, banter that makes me feel part of the group. If you love trivia, this podcast is for you. I love reading reviews. If I ever have a sad day, I just go back and read reviews. Now, Ben, can you guess who our Warheads of the Week are going to be?
I'm going to guess these guys right here.
These guys right here. That's right. Our Warheads of the Week are James Reed and Josh Storton. You are officially our Warheads of the Week. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. I hope you had a good time today.
It's been brilliant. Yeah, I've loved it.
Hey, guys, before we get out of here, I do want to say thank you to our new Patreon subscribers and donors. You can tell by my voice that I'm recording this after we recorded the episode. I do that every week because it allows me to be as up-to-date as possible. So this week we've had a little bit of a shift, interestingly. We've had a couple of donations come in straight to PayPal where people just asked if they could make a one-time payment or a one-time donation without signing up for a monthly deduction. And the answer is absolutely. On PayPal, I'm at trivialwarfare@gmail.com. That's the address. So if you're interested in doing it that way, that is A-okay with me. In fact, we had Lee DeGeorge, who sent us a one-time donation of $50. Thank you, Lee. I appreciate your generosity, man. That was outstanding. And we also got a donation through PayPal this week from Susanna Lee and Paul Mark, our favorite people in the House of Representatives in Massachusetts. And they donated enough to be captains for a full year up front in PayPal. You guys, thank you so much. I actually was a little overwhelmed when I saw that. So I just wanted to say thank you and hopefully look forward to having you guys on the show. Maybe we can do something in the political realm, perhaps. And then in our normal Patreon setup, we have a new lieutenant, Danny Wilson. Thank you so much, Danny. You came in strong, man. You were like, hit like on the page, join the group, go to the Google+, go to the Twitter. You were on it, and I appreciate you listening, man. Oh, before I forget, if you are an officer, if you're a commissioned officer in the Trivial Warfare Army and you haven't sent me a picture yet, be sure to send me one. TrivialWarfare@gmail.com is where to send it. If you go out and look, I go out and update our page every time I get a picture. So be sure to send it my way. All right, guys. Well, we're going to wrap it up. My name's Jonathan. That's James. That's Josh. That's Ben. And this has been Trivial Warfare, where it's not just trivia, it's war. Bye, guys.
See you.
Thank you for listening to Trivial Warfare. To learn more about the show and become a warhead yourself, visit TrivialWarfare.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or in any other good podcast app. And find us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Trivial Warfare.
No, actually, that one hadn't been released yet.
Oh, okay.
That's this week's.
Okay.
I'll spoil it.
Spoiler alert.
Your shame will be made clear to all.
Spoiler alert, it didn't go well.
I raised the tapes later today, yeah?
So yeah, don't get your hopes up for me when you hear me trying to play trivia.
Team Ben over here will be
yes, thank you. I have fans in England. I am Ben the Conqueror. All
right. Are you saying you conquered England?
In a way, yeah. I've got my teammates over there. So I am team Ben and team Ben is me. So if they're team Ben, that means I'm there. That's my logic, I'm sticking to it. And I'm a statistician, which means that I do logic for a living. So you can't argue with me on that.